I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. How do you handle fear? If I were to be honest and reflect on that question for myself, my answer would be worry. Lots and lots of worry. You see, I come from a family of worriers, a long line of them, I guess. A perfect example would be my grandfather. Every time he knows that one of his loved ones or one of his grandchildren are traveling a certain amount of distance in a car, whether it be 10 minutes down the road or further, he will always say the following: be careful and watch out for deer. Now, most of us in Northeast Ohio, that is a genuine concern to be aware of, especially at certain times of the year. And we as the George family, we understand that it's his way of letting us know he loves us and cares for us. But the truth is, he really does really worry about all of us having a close encounter with the deer kind. Unfortunately for me, it seems as though that worrying aspect is genetic and has gotten passed down to me. I've realized as I've grown older that I find myself more and more in situations where it's easy for me to get tempted and swayed by worry. This has become especially so for myself as the last several months I have been preparing for a trip of my own. You see, next Tuesday, I, as well as some of my family, we're going to get to have an opportunity to travel to Israel and visit the Holy Land. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm really excited for the Holy Land. In fact, it's actually a bucket list item of mine that I've had since I've been about 10 years old. With that being said, I'm excited to see the cities of Jerusalem, Bethlehem, to witness the Sea of Galilee and the Mount of Olives in person, but I'd be lying to you if I said that I also wasn't worried. It feels like sometimes I worry about the simplest and silliest of things, such as, what if the flight gets delayed? What happens if the bus gets a flat tire? Or, did I get my paperwork into the people in time for my passport? It's stuff like that that gets to me. Luckily, though, whenever I find myself in moments where worry seems to get the best of me, God sends reminders of how I should be handling it. This time around, it actually came through my preparation for this trip. You see, the leader of the tour that we're going on encouraged each of us to spiritually prepare for this time and encouraged us to read from the book of Psalms, some of the Psalms of Ascent. Basically, in the Bible, there's 15 in total. It's Psalms 120 to 134, where they're a compilation of psalms that the Israelites would actually sing to themselves while they went on their own journey from their hometown to Jerusalem for the annual feasts. Luckily for me, Psalms 121 was one of those, and as soon as I read it, it hit me right over the head with a 2x4. It reminds me of how I should handle my fear. You see, it starts off really simple. All it starts off with is a question with a confident answer. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You see, mountains for us today, it's easy for us to think that they are just scenes of beauty and awe. But more than likely for the Israelites traveling to Jerusalem, mountains were not purple mountain majesty, but were probably images of uncertainty and danger. You see, terrain is always something to be aware of, watching your footing. Weather is always uncertain, and they had to be aware of the uncertain dangers of wild animals or potentially robbers that would want to jump out and attack them at any notice. But the psalmist here, instead of looking at these mountains with fear, he looks at them with hope in certainty. He says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He reminds us that this same Lord is a Lord that does not slumber, does not sleep. He watches over us both now and forevermore. Now, I feel like it's pretty easy for some of us when we're hearing these words and listening to some of these claims, like the sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. And it might be easy for us to think that, man, I wonder if that's a hollow promise. I mean, these Israelites are the same people who, when you read in the Old Testament, they face some pretty tough persecution. But the psalmist doesn't think so. The psalmist consistently and repeatedly tells us that God is watching over us and that he is keeping us from harm. I think one of the big pictures that I get from reading this psalm is that the psalmist wants us to realize that God's presence is much mightier than the mountains of fear that we sometimes build. His presence is what we can hold firm in, and his presence is what changes everything. Instead of us looking at mountains and thinking fear, he changes that same mountain of fear into a mountain that reminds us of his presence. What I mean by that is, when we read the Bible, we don't see mountains and associate it with fear. Instead, when we look in the Old Testament and New Testament, we are consistently reminded that mountains are actually the place where God meets his people. Whether it's God meeting Abraham on Mount Moriah, whether it's him meeting Moses on Mount Sinai and giving him the Ten Commandments, or meeting Elijah on Mount Carmel and proving to him, as well as the other prophets of the false idols, that he is the one true God, God meets his people on mountains. And most importantly, the thing that I take the most heart from is knowing that God meets us on one of the most important mountains, Mount Calvary, where he sent his own son to die for us and give us everlasting life. These stories, they remind us today that God never leaves us, he always watches over us, and that nothing can remove us from God's presence. I think when we read the New Testament, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, he almost doubles down on that promise when he tells us that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present, the future, any powers, height, depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our hope, as it was then and as it is now, is found in the Lord. We worship a God who can change mountains of fear into promises and symbols of his presence. To end, I want to ask you the same question I started with. How do you handle fear? My challenge for you, and it's the same challenge for myself, is that we will take those same fears that limit us and confidently put them at the feet of our Lord, the maker and perfecter of our faith.
In Christ, we have the experience of God being with us here on earth, walking with his disciples, healing and teaching, showing people that they didn't need to be afraid because the presence of God was with them. Christ continued that presence when he gathered with his disciples around a table, and he took bread. And he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you, that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here, on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask you to come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and ask slightly dip it into the cup and receive both elements at the same time. We do have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that. I'll invite Luke forward to help me serve, and then you all are welcome to come as you are ready.